Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. We had a wonderful weekend. I trust that you did too. It was an amazing time with the saints of God gathering together to worship the Lord and to experience the true presence of God and to hear the words of God, to be instructed, to be equipped. It was a wonderful time. Truly, we were all ministered to by the Holy Spirit, and we are so thankful. And we believe that these days that we are in, these moments are vital to our understanding. Let me just give you a little preview of what we talked about over the weekend, and I'm going to work backwards if I may. We actually ended our services yesterday with a friend of ours, a brother in the Lord. His name is Daryl. And Daryl, back in September of last year, 2019, came to me on a personal note. He came to me and he said, "I am concerned." And I said, "What are you concerned about?" He said, "I believe there's going to be a plague released in our country and around the world." I don't remember the exact words that Daryl said, but he came to me and he told me, "I am concerned that a plague will be released, that it's going to happen." Well, if my timing is correct, it was right after that that the simulation from the Bill Gates Foundation, Melinda Gates Foundation, and John Hopkins University and others simulated a coronavirus outbreak and how it would be managed in the world. That happened in October. We talked about that. And Daryl yesterday stood before the people and he said, "You know, I felt this concern and it happened." He said, "I've got another concern." He said, "The next concern that I had is that we are about to experience the loss of internet, cell phone communication, and electricity." But he began with internet and cell phones. Okay, he made this very plain yesterday and he said, "You know, it's just the same impression that I had back then about the virus." And I stopped for a moment and I was listening to him, and I shared yesterday at the end of our service, again, we're working backwards, that I had this very eerie feeling happen last week while I was washing a cup in my sink. I was standing at the sink washing my cup, and all of a sudden in my mind, the water went off and it just stopped running. And all of a sudden in my mind, it was like, it's coming. And I never said anything to anybody about that. I thought maybe I just am imagining things. And then when he said yesterday that the internet and cell phones, now right there, if we just stop right there, if the internet and cell phones go down, what is it breaking? It's breaking our communication system, our communication, our ability to communicate. And I want to ask you right now, where you are you able to communicate? Do you have a plan with family or friends? Do you belong to a group that could gather together for support during this time? Are you okay? This is really important because I am standing here and putting my name on this, that Daryl did come to me and he did say that he believed a plague was going to hit, and it did hit. And I had just totally forgotten about it because Daryl and I are so close in our relationship and in the church, and he kind of has a business and computers and he comes and goes, and you know, we don't get the chance to see him all the time, but he did say this. And so yesterday when he brought the information that perhaps a communication disruption is going to take place, he feels that this is ready to happen. And then the third thing he did say was the electrical grid, that it's going to be hit. Now, you know that we've been saying for a very long time, along with a lot of other people, that the concern is electromagnetic pulse. We used to think it was going to happen because of North Korea. Some people thought a CME, a coronal mass ejection from the sun, would wipe out the electrical grid globally. And so we've been thinking these things, and we've done a little bit to prepare. I hope you've done a little bit to prepare as well. I don't know how much you could actually prepare because we've never been this way before. We've never lived in the 1700s. We don't know what it's like. We have books, and we can listen to the memoirs of the pioneers and all of that. But there was a time in the world, yes, believe it or not, that we had no electricity. And I remember a couple of years ago being on radio, having a download from the Holy Spirit tell the people to prepare for the 1700s. Tell the people to prepare for the 1700s. And sometimes people, you know, think, well, next week that's going to happen. Next month that's going to happen. Well, we're getting closer to that. And so this was just a word that we need to examine, and we need to be diligent to do something with it. I wouldn't just slough it off. Do not despise prophesying. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So that's kind of how our weekend ended yesterday. And going back just a little bit, we had been talking about the Babylonian system. Oh my gosh, we were in Daniel chapter 2, 3, and 4 yesterday. We were in the Word for over, I think it was about an hour and 45 minutes or so. We just went directly into the Word. We unveiled the Scriptures. We got into Daniel 2, 3, and 4, and we just scratched the proverbial surface of what the messages are there, but they're very profound. Then we went to Revelation 13 and showed how Daniel 2, 3, and 4 are a direct connect to Revelation chapter 13. And that's all about the Great Tribulation, the period of time that we're all going to have to go through. And we also talked yesterday about, on another radio program, about the trees of God. There were two trees in the midst of the garden. One of them was the tree of life. That's the tree we were intended to partake of. And then there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we looked at those definitions of knowledge, and it basically boils down to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the occultic or secret knowledge, satanic tree that gives you an ability to make things good or make things bad. This bad crisis that we're in right now is something that's coming from the occultic dark powers, and they're going to probably use it for their advantage to advance the cause of Satan, because everything out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is gearing towards the satanic. And people think when it's good, well, it can't be evil, but it is evil. The knowledge of the tree of good and evil, both of them, good and evil, are death. You die when you, even if you're on the good side. So we were intended by Yahweh God, our Father, to partake of the tree of life. And so we did this amazing study through the Scriptures about how we are referred to trees. You know, the trees of the field will clap their hand. The Psalm 1, that the righteous man will be like a tree planted by the waters. So we got into the trees and we got into the rivers, and we looked at the first couple of chapters in Genesis and how at the very end of the scriptures in Revelation 22, we find a tree of life again, and we find a river, crystal clear, pure crystal clear river, speaking of the Holy Spirit's illumination and radiance that is to flow through us, because Jesus said that the river of God shall flow out of our bellies. And that's the innermost part of our being, and it flows out into our cellular structure, and everything in us is to be continually maintained and revived and refreshed, because that's what the tree of life is. Some people thought, like salvation, if I go down to this to the altar and I say the Jesus prayer, that's it, I'm good. Well, when you eat of the tree of life, it wasn't just a one time, I ate the fruit, now I'm alive forevermore. No, the tree of life was intended. Remember, it bears its fruit all year long, and its leaves are continually there. It's a tree to be continually partaken of. Now, in a good sense, in the creation sense of what God had originally created us without sin, when we continued to partake of that tree of life, it would bring, in definition, refreshing, reviving, maintenance of all of our being, whatever it was, and it does get into the illumination, the radiance, the brilliance, the cheer. That river brought great joy. Now, when man sinned and was darkened and fell into fear, it would not have been good for him to have partaken of the tree of life, because he would have stayed in that condition forever. Hallelujah. So the death that came, it was the mercy of God to cut people off from the tree of life in a darkened condition. The way that we come back to the tree of life, the way that you and I access the tree of life in our lifetime, is by being born again, receiving the grace of God, confessing our sins, repenting, receiving the mercy of God, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, so the river of God begins to flow through us once again, restoring, renewing, reviving, regenerating, refreshing, bringing a flow, okay, all the beautiful things that the river of life does and promotes, so that our tree is full of good fruit. You and I are trees of righteousness, no doubt. So that was the intention, but you can only partake of that in that born-again experience, in that new naturedness. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I'm just working backwards from where we were yesterday. So we talked about this tree and this river. It shows up at the end of time. Eventually, that will be the only reality. There will only be a tree of life. There will only be a river of life. In Revelation 22, you don't see the knowledge of good and evil anymore. But what we found, again, is the occultic secret knowledge. You know that the word occult simply means secret knowledge. And Satan gives that knowledge and power to individuals to serve his purpose. And his purpose is what? To be worshipped. And so what we find in the book of Revelation chapter 13 is a climatic theme of the desire of Lucifer going all the way back to the beginning of time to be worshipped, where he finally sets the stage in the world that the whole world will worship him. And that's what you see in the Revelation 13, except those who have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They won't, but they're going to have to learn how to navigate and go through this time of great tribulation. And of course, the mark of the beast was introduced. So we got into all of that this week, but I want to share an article with you real quick. And I want to bring this out. This is from a very newsworthy, this is from Prophecy News Network. And here's an article that they were talking about the growing calls. And we need to understand this, the growing calls for one world government in response to virus outbreak. All right, so let me just kind of get your attention for just a moment. I want to, hello, I'm looking at you. You looking at me? All right, so I want you to see me right now, okay? I want you to see me, and I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you. The president of the United States, before I read this article, is a very optimistic man. You know, he calls things, he names things, he says things, and he's optimistic. A couple of weeks ago, he said that we would be out of this coronavirus thing by April 15th. As you know, over the weekend, he's extended it now going out to June. It's to April 30th, but it's more like June. What's happening before your eyes? Please see me. Please hear me. The speculation that is running rampant in this world right now is unbelievable. It's the knowledge of good and evil. Everybody's taking a side of what they believe is going on. But I want to go back to the simple truth of what you are witnessing. This is going to help you. I really believe this is going to help you. The simple truth is that when God's word and God's spirit connect, there's an explosion of power. There's something happens. Word and spirit, okay? Because the word of God is the truth. The spirit ignites that truth, makes it alive. The spirit is the revving up of the engine. It's the power to rev the engine. It gives enlightenment to the truth. You could read the Bible your whole life and never get anything out of it because the spirit of God has not illuminated it to you or energized it to you, okay? So we know that. The Holy Spirit is everything. It's the force of God, the power of God. The day before, and I know you heard me, but don't hear me. I'm not saying this for me. I'm not saying, look what I said. Look, it has nothing to do with that. Isaiah 47:11 is a very powerful verse of scripture. And this is going to take you out of the realm of confusion, being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The day before coronavirus hit the United States of America, before it ever became a reality here, we read Isaiah 47:11, and I know it by heart now. I've said it so many times, and you should too. That verse said, it was a judgment coming on Babylon, okay? But it said, evil is coming from whence you do not know. You will not be able to put it off, and it will bring a disaster, okay? Now, from the highest office in the land, possibly in the world, the president of the United States has said for weeks now, this thing came out of nowhere. He fulfilled Isaiah 47:11. Where did it come from? Now, of course, they're blaming China, but for us, it came out of nowhere. People are still wondering where it came from. There's speculation about that. He said just recently, this thing will be over by April 15th. We're going to put this off. But this weekend, again, confirm the word of God. You will not be able to put it off. And now the third phase of that Isaiah 47:11 is the disaster that it will bring. Okay, so right now, Isaiah 47:11 is 2 out of 3. It came from where we do not know. It is evil. And we cannot put it off. Now, let's talk about something else. And again, I'm just going to throw this out there. You know, why is the world in lockdown? We just had a tornado in Jonesboro, wiped out Jonesboro, Arkansas. But by the way, the governor of Arkansas said that we have the lowest rate. We're doing good, but he thinks it's because of social distancing. He doesn't yet understand that this is a Goshen. This is a selected place by Yahweh God, okay? And God has others. But this is a selected place. We're not being preserved because we're social distancing. We're being preserved because of the work that God has declared, even going back to Corrie Ten Boom. All right. And she talked about Northwest Arkansas. So Arkansas, isn't that amazing? Arkansas, the state, the Ark. Are you kidding me? That's amazing. So Isaiah 47:11 is 2 out of 3. I believe it's going to be 3 out of 3. It is going to bring a disaster. I believe that. And I believe April, we're going to see the uptick. We've been saying that for how long? My wife, Patricia, has been saying it for over a year. I had about 40 days ago, while we were traveling, opened up the word and said 40 days. And that brought me to April 3rd through the 5th, somewhere between April 1st through April 5th. I think on April 1st, everybody's going to go, April Fools, but it's no fool's game right now. We're going to get past that nonsense. And I think between April 3rd and April 5th is where we're going to see something possibly rise. I think the explosion, the exponential, because of an unrepentant nation. Truly, we are an unrepentant nation. And that's the dangerous part of this whole thing. Okay. My wife asked today, why aren't the news media just saying, you know, we need to stop, pause, and pray right now and ask God to forgive us? Why isn't the White House saying we need to stop, pause, and pray and ask God to forgive us? You know, why aren't we seeing that? Why isn't that happening? Because we're an unrepentant nation. And so I think this is the reason why stuff is going to be happening. I find it interesting. I've been studying this, and this is going to work here with the article I'm going to read in just a moment. Isn't it interesting when you go back to Genesis chapter 10 and 11 that you find Nimrod, who's leading the world to build a city and a tower whose height reaches up to heaven, so that we will not be scattered. We're going to unify the world with a city and a tower. We're going to unify the world with a city and a tower. You know, the 5G towers, and I'm not going to get into the argument whether they emit radiation or not, because the argument on both sides, pretty powerful. But there was 26,000 scientists that did say, don't put them up because they're going to emit flu-like systems because of the radiation output. But I don't want to get there, okay? It's just convincing arguments on both sides. But what I do look at is the spiritual reality, the biblical reality, that, again, what are you building? Towers. 5G towers. What are they designed to do? Unite the world. To bring everybody on the planet online. To be able to micromanage nations. Once 5G towers are in place and they hit the switch, that'll probably happen in full force after the EMP or after the electrical supply grid download, after things are shut down. There'll be a period of time, there'll be a major kill-off. You have to remember that. There will be a population reduction in the world when the electricity goes out. You know that's true. When electricity goes out, Congress, Homeland Security have told us that within the first 30 days, tens of millions of people will be dead, just in this country. Only God knows what it would be like around the world. So when the lights go out, when the electrical grid fails, when the internet is down, when you cannot communicate by cell phone, there's going to be a lot of death going on. And then at some point, it's going to come back online with a new form of government. It's going to come back online with 5G tower network so that everybody in the world will be monitored. And we know that through 5G technology, you're never going to need a cell phone again. You're not going to need anything like that ever again. What you're going to do is you're going to be identified by your voice and you're going to be identified by your facial recognition. Your face is already known, unless you're one of those people that's been underground for 40 years. Your face, if you have it on a license, if you have it on a passport, your face is already been computed into a major computer system. You know that's true. And so you're going to be identified when you go to the store. You're going to go to, a grocery store, and you're going to say, you're going to bring your basket of food through line, and you're going to say hello, and they're going to say hello. And they're going to, the technology is going to be recognizing your voice, seeing your face. You're going to walk out. You're not going to show them a phone. You're not going to give them a credit card. You're not going to swipe the chip in your card. You're not going to do any of that. No cash. You're going to walk through and you will just have out of your account that's online money taken out, or whatever currency it is will be taken out. Now, obviously, by the time we get there, most likely, you won't be able to buy or sell. So those who are born again aren't going to want to be out there having voice recognition, facial recognition, having a system, a mark to be able to buy or sell. Now here's, let me read to you an article. You think maybe he's in fantasy land. I'm really not in fantasy land. Watch this. This is from the PNN. This is from Prophecy News. Daniel Seckham actually writes for this every once in a while. And this was called The Growing Calls for One World Government in Response to Virus Outbreak. Former UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown has called on world leaders to form a temporary global government in response to the coronavirus pandemic. The ex-Labour Prime Minister stressed the need for a task force comprised of world leaders, health experts, as well as leaders of the international organizations that could have executive powers to execute the response. Brown would like to see the G20 lead this charge in cooperation with the UN Security Council while giving more resources and power to the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. The G20, which President Trump just met with last week, if you'll recall, the G20 is made up of 19 countries and the European Union. The 19 countries are Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, Germany, France, India, Indonesia, Italy, Japan, Mexico, the Russian Federation, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, South Korea, Turkey, the UK, and the United States of America. He said, this is not something that can be dealt with in one country. There has to be a coordinated global response. All right, and that's going back to the former UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown, who brought all of this out, highlighting the differences between the 2008 economic collapse that he dealt with and the current crises. Brown added, this is first and foremost a medical emergency, and there has to be joint action to deal with that. But the more you intervene to deal with the medical emergency, the more you put economics or economies at risk. End of quote. Many countries have announced economic packages in the past 2 weeks, but Brown said a task force could make sure the efforts of central banks were coordinated, take steps to prevent the record flight of capital from emerging market economies, and agree a joint approach to the use of government spending to boost growth. Well, Brown went on to say that there had been since resistance in 2008 to using the G20 as a vehicle for tackling the financial crisis, but that it should be clear to world leaders that there was no possibility of a go-it-alone approach working. He said this, we need some sort of working executive. If I were doing it again, I would make the G20 a broader organization because in the current circumstances, you need to listen to the countries that are most effective, the countries that are making a difference, and countries where there is the potential for a massive number of people to be affected, such as those in Africa. Nigel Farage, the leader of the Brexit Party, took exception to the former Labour Prime Minister's advocacy for a world government. He said, Gordon Brown doesn't get it. Globalization is the cause of our problems, not our savior. Hallelujah. Somebody with a mind. Well, English writer Lawrence England found Brown's advocacy more disturbing than naive. Here's what he said. Gordon Brown does get it. The one world government is about sheer power over populaces, not about helping people. They want a world of slaves. He was a key Bilderberg attendee. That's what Lawrence England said about Brown. Interesting that the higher ups are aware of a one world government. It's not just you and I, Christians, who read the Bible that understand one world government. Don't feel unusual. And even if we were, it's still the word of God. You should have confidence in it. The world, there's people in the highest echelons of global power that understand the war between globalization and sovereignty. Independent nations, sovereign nations, allowing nations to grow at their own rate. But globalists desire the power. Satan is behind that. Satan is behind that. There will never be global oneness, unity, peace, harmony until Jesus Christ is at the helm. And he will bring a one world government. And it will be under his power and authority. And those of us who have been faithful to the Lord, we will be given cities to rule and reign over in the kingdom of Christ. Oh, there will be a one world government, but it's not going to be Lucifer's. But Lucifer drives for this power, and he will have it for a short period of time. Yes, Lucifer, he's the one behind all of it. And it is his desire to rule the world, the banks, the military, the money, the currency, the government, every part of it, okay? So I think we all pretty well get that. Now, he said that this Gordon Brown was a key player in the Bilderberg organization. The Bilderberg meetings have been used as a forum for world elites since 1954 to further their vision for the world. But no one is allowed to reveal who said what. It's a secret society, occultic knowledge, good and evil. Create a crisis, bring a solution, advance our cause. At the 2009 London Summit for the G20, Brown said, "I think the New World Order is emerging, and with it, the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation." Well, Christian prophecy experts have long warned that the book of Revelation reveals the eventual formation of a one world government. Will the coronavirus be a stepping stone to the fulfillment of that prophecy? Well, maybe so. Maybe so. So today we're talking about all that is going on in our world today. Again, I'm so simple in this, and I think we just need to just praise God for his word. Just praise God for his word. Hey, what I would like to do on this Monday morning, I've got some announcements that I'd like to make. My friend Daryl, who I told you about, who told me back in September of 2019, he said, "I believe there's going to be a plague, and the plague is here." And he came forward yesterday and he says he believes a few other things are going to happen. You know, never once did Daryl come and say anything, you know, about, "I told you this was going to happen," and all of those things. So Daryl, his approach yesterday standing up was just kind of out of nowhere. I shared with Pastor Vince this was going to happen, and I concurred. He did. And then he said, "I have something more, and I believe that we're getting ready to have the internet go down, cell phones go down, and the electrical grid go down." And he brought this out very simply, period. Along the way, it's so interesting, whatever that is, he's also been working to assist us here on our radio broadcast by doing some things. I don't know how long the internet will stay on, do you? And I don't know how long your cell phone will work, do you? But I do know this. If the lights went out today, if the lights went out today and darkness covered this earth and God darkened the earth in the clear day, and we had to walk through that, let's just say a year from now, the lights would go back on. They would know who you are because of the information that you and I have given them already. And they would have your voice. They would have your face in stored capacity. And so when those lights go back on again, there would begin the greatest tribulation. So the idea is, if this happens, has God revealed to you where you need to be? Because I do know that in the book of Revelation, there is a place prepared of God for his people for 3.5 years. Exact numbers, Revelation 12 tells us all about it. For 3.5 years, God has a prepared place for his people. You know, you and I may think today, well, we do know. But I want to share this with you. It's not going to be those who have built things with their hands and prepared things. It's going to be those who are of a nature, of a conduct, of a faithful heart, of a clean heart. This isn't trying to sound holier than thou. This is just a reality. We have prepared an ark to a degree. Your home is an ark. But God may supernaturally bring you out of that into another place one day that you don't even know about right now, that we've never heard of before right now. You see, the Lord is able to unveil understanding at the right time for us. Right now, we have some understanding about some things, but a lot of stuff is still veiled to us. According to the secret occult, they don't tell us anything, so we're all guessing. But God knows what they're doing. God sees in the darkness, and God is able to reveal to us. Remember Elijah? He kept getting the plans of the Syrian king to invade Israel, because his spirit was transported and he went into the very place where they were making the plans. God knows. God's spirit knows. And at the right time, if you love Jesus Christ, if you love Father, if you're a lover of the Lord, I can't convince you to be that. If you love God, you're one of those people that you've set your course to obey God, to honor God, to love God, to worship God, to praise God. You've given up your idea of controlling anything on this earth or possessing anything. you've just kind of exchanged all of that for walking in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit everywhere you go, whenever you go. But you've given up worldly pursuits, right? You just, you're a kingdom-minded individual. You love God. You're there. You don't know if your preparing is just something God has you doing, but will take you somewhere else, or your preparing is going to enable other people who are going to be brought to that place. Nobody knows. Nobody knows right now. But the unveiling will surely come to those who are going into the wilderness. And that's all there is to it. She's given two wings like an eagle, and they bring her there. Whatever that means, whatever that is, you and I just need to be faithful to the Lord. So with that being said, I don't know how long things will be. I do know that God said something's coming that's evil. You don't know where from. You won't be able to put it off, and it will produce a disaster. And the astrologers and the stargazers and the enchanters and prognosticators will not be able to have the wisdom. They will not know what to do, just like in the book of Daniel when the king demanded them to tell the dream and interpret it, and they couldn't. They said, man, that's too hard for anybody. But Daniel could, because the God of heaven and earth is able to do this. You and I need to be the Daniels in our generation. We need to be the ones that have the secrets of God revealed to us. We need to have that kind of wisdom. We don't need to be biting into and getting into the global net of conspiracy theory and mental gyrations and could-be's and speculations. I mean, there's nothing wrong with knowing what's happening, but we've got to know what's happening from a biblical perspective. And that's why my tiny little part in this whole thing, my tiny little part is just saying, look, God has spoken. God's word has revealed this moment. So then what follows? You see, that's what we have to understand. What does it mean? What is this all about? Why are we here right now? Why is this happening? What does God want to say to us? What does he want to share with us? And all is, that is required is that you, his son, his daughter, go into your prayer closet, shut the door, and seek God Almighty. You know what Daniel did? Daniel said, give me some time. Give me a little time. And he went and he convened with his three brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they all began to seek the Lord. What does this mean? What was the king's dream, and what does it mean? And when they sought the Lord, they got the answer. Folks, I believe we're on the right side of this thing. We're not on the wrong side of it. I believe right now is the time for God's people all over this world to shine with the illumination, understanding, and wisdom of God Almighty. I believe that. I don't believe this is a time to be caught in a trap like a rat. I don't believe we are rats. I believe we are the sons and daughters of God. And God is going to perfect what is lacking in our lives if we will go with him. He's going to begin to exponentially accelerate us into that form that he has desired, that Christ-likeness, so that we can be the bearers of Christ in our generation with a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, an understanding of what's going on in the darkness, and to guide God's people like wise virgins. You know why the wise virgins were wise? Because they had the oil, the understanding, the anointing. They had the wisdom. They knew not to go to the sellers of oil. They knew that wasn't the time to try to get something from somebody, because all they're going to do is give you a junk anyways. No, they had gotten the oil. They got in the word. They got in the spirit. They got in the wisdom. They were being transformed by the renewing of their mind. They were being built into a new immunity system, so that 1,000 could fall at their side and 10,000 at their right hand, that they would be able to communicate by the Spirit of God, that they would be translated and transported. Yes, a supernatural season in the economy of heaven. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with entering into the book of Acts with a double portion anointing on it? The only thing lacking, perhaps, is maybe our holiness, maybe our commitment, maybe our effectiveness. Maybe we haven't prayed enough. Maybe we haven't fasted enough. Maybe we haven't read the Bible enough. Maybe we avoided fellowship. Maybe we should have been getting close and praying in the Spirit and breaking through and working it out. And boy, that's going to produce real good fruit for the days we're living in now. That's the gold that needs to come through the trial, right? I don't believe we're rats being trapped. I believe we're the sons of God, the daughters of God, and I believe that this is our moment to get the wisdom. When we gather together, wherever we gather together, it's not just for average Bible studies, to get wisdom. And we don't want to be a broken record and just go over and over and over. But you know, faith does come by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And you need to have faith right now that the Word of God is being fulfilled before your very eyes. Isn't this an amazing moment? I mean, this is amazing. But can you believe that God is networking, knitting in you an immune system that will walk through all this stuff? He gave you your first immune system. AIDS is about an autoimmune deficiency, right? It's where your immune system breaks down. And all the social control mechanisms and energy and light and electronics and sounds breaking down the immune system makes people more controllable. But what if God could build that immune system in us? I'd love to hear from you this morning. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Do you believe it? Do you have faith? Or are you going to treat this moment like a mere creature having no faith, no supernatural power available to you? And yet I believe that the most supernatural power in the universe dwells on the inside of you. And the devil would mock, and the devil would laugh, and the devil would scoff, and the devil would say, yeah, sure, then why are you sick? Or then why did you get a cold? Or then why do you feel the way you feel? Hey, man, that could change in a moment. Let it be done unto you according to your faith. You want to nurse your sickness? Then do it. Nurse your sickness. But if you want to rise up in the supernatural power of God, then do it. I've been sick before, and it's not fun. It is not fun. Being sick hurts. It hurts. It's not good. Whether it's a back out of whack, or it is a cold or a fever or an earache or a toothache, it's not fun. I get it. But that we don't have to yield and say, well, don't get too wild on the amazing side of health, because, you know, that could sound like pride and you could get sick. I'm not saying it for that reason. I'm not trying to be proud. I'm trying to say that there's a provision from God for God's people. There's a provision for God for God's people. It's called healing. It's called covenant. It's the children's bread. I don't want to get sick. But I don't want to get trapped, and I don't want to live in unbelief, and I don't want to deny the supernatural power of God either. All right, so we've got some calls coming in. The number to call, once again, 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326 on this Monday morning. And by the way, one of the announcements that we are going to make is that this is the last Monday that we will be broadcasting. We just need a day, an extra day of rest, because we're running 7 days a week. Every single day we're doing something, and we just need a day off on a Monday. So this will be our last Monday broadcasting. But let's take our first call this morning. Coming in, my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. She always has something valuable to say. Good morning, Patricia. How are you?
I am doing well. And I believe that we need to have a clarity on one thing that will bring us knowledge as to the times we're in, and that is the release of the apocalypse, the four horsemen. And it is very clear in Scripture that the horse, one of the horses, has and plagues. Then there's the horse of death. And there's various ideas and concepts on each horse of what is going on. And it is in process right now. It is not like one and then the other comes, and then the other comes, and then the other comes. They all come at one time in various ways of unleashing the hideous works of the enemy upon the earth. And the one on the white horse is the greatest deception of all, because many felt that it was Christ Jesus on that white horse. It is not. It is a move of the work of the enemy to bring a counterfeit where people will believe this is Christ when it is not. I just wanted to bring that forth.
Okay, well, I think that's super important, Patricia. And, you know, you've authored a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, and have been educating and equipping saints of God for nearly 30-some-odd years. And your book has gone all over the world. It's a fabulous read. It's anointed. Benjamin Baruch, who joined me on Friday, did a radio interview with you and I years ago in California, and he told people that the anointing is on the book to break the yokes while you're reading it. And that was a beautiful thing that he said. And so we are entering into a time of spiritual warfare, Patricia. We are entering into a time of spiritual warfare with words, thoughts, ideas, concepts, deception. What are your thoughts about how to stand against that in this hour?
What I would like to present is if anyone would give to the work we're doing to help, because it is going all over the world. We're reaching all over the world right now. And if anyone would like to give to the ministry in which we're involved in at this moment, to lift up the radio station in a greater manner, in a greater way of technology, because we can use it for good at this point in time. For whatever they give, I would like to send my book to them to help them stand strong in the day of the great deception. And
to
be delivered from any kind of bondage in their lives where they feel they cannot live the life they would like to because they keep falling back into the same dilemma. And so I would be more than happy to show them how to cast out devils and how to heal the sick. There are so many different ways in which Jesus manifested when he walked the face of the earth, and he said, what I do, you shall do also, even greater things, because I go to my Father. And then when he did, he sent his Holy Spirit for us to do as the same. But there are ways that he shows and taught within the Bible. This is not a book that is of imagination, of something that one would consider supernatural because you're in the realm of thinking in those terms. It is the actual work of God when he walked the face of the earth and said, what I do, you shall do also.
Wow, very good. What a precious offering. That was very generous. Thank you. And I think the value of the book will far transcend any offerings that would come. Thank you, Patricia. God bless you, dear lady.
Thank you.
All right, way to go. So if you want to get a copy of the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, Patricia says she'll send you one with your donation to this ministry. You know, herein is balance. We're hearing that the electricity may go down, the internet may go down, cell phones may go down. And so now I have my friend here. I've got this from, you probably can't see it. But Daryl came up to me yesterday. At the same time, he was saying that he thinks this is going to happen at some point. He said that he created an online giving thing. You could actually text a number. I'm not going to give that information out right now. I want to test the system with him, and I want to see if it works. But what does it mean to give to this ministry? Well, it just means that you're in relationship with us and that you are supplying a need to continue to do this as long as we possibly can. And that is going to be an awesome thing, but you will receive a gift, a book. We're not selling it. And, you know, they say they send anointing oil. I don't think that's the issue. I think Patricia giving the book would be done regardless. It's regardless. She's done it. She's given so many away. It's not even funny. But this is a quote coming in from dear Kevin here. To start now to learn what God is trying to show everyone, what is about to come from the deceiver. Yeah, I think there's a lot of deception coming. He says, not all will hear unless they walk straight forward with the Lord, uncovering their sinful life to Jesus, asking for forgiveness. You know, that's a key to everything right there. Uncovering your sinful life, exposing, you know, confessing your sin to Jesus and to one another. Confess your faults one to another is a huge way to go. So it's Monday morning. The countries are still in lockdown. Tornadoes are still wrapping around the earth. people are now being told in Connecticut, we're shutting you down, New Jersey, New York. Nobody knows what tomorrow will bring but God. And he says, today. And I want to pray a prayer with you today, if you want to just kind of go out of this broadcast with a simple prayer that Jesus told his disciples to pray a long time ago. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses and sins, as we forgive those who have trespassed and sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. We who are together right now offer our praise to you. We send the fragrance of worship to you in confidence and trust that you will walk with us through these days, that you will be our all provider, that you will meet every need according to your riches and glory, because your people have honored you. They have loved you. They have had faithful hearts towards you, even when no one was looking. I ask you to bless the people that are tuned in. And if ever we were disconnected on this earth, Lord, I pray that we would meet each other in heaven, in the resurrection, in the catching away. I pray for the people that are hearing this broadcast, that you will show yourself mighty to them, as you have in my life and as you have in the life of so many others, your presence. We are undeserving sinners that have found grace, amazing grace. We are weak people who have been made strong. We were ugly in our sin, but you've made us beautiful. You've cleaned us up in our hearts. You've washed our minds. You've transformed our personalities and character. You have formed a new nature within us, and we are so thankful, God. You have loved us with an everlasting love. You have forgiven us for everything we have ever done against you and anyone else. You are an amazing Father. Your word is so exalted and rich. You have literally crowned your word, the living word, Yeshua, at the right hand of your majesty. You have set your word as king. It is the final word in all the universe to all people in heaven and earth. You're awesome. Your power can be displayed. And you promised in the last days that you would display your power, that you would actually manifest forth your glory through a many-membered body of people, Lord, that the glory of Christ in us will be manifested, transfigured, like you, Jesus, were transfigured. And I thank you for that transfiguration. I thank you for an anointing that breaks yokes. I thank you for a river that is pure and crystal clear. I thank you for the golden oil that flows through the pipes into the candlestick, the menorah, the churches, our lives. I thank you for the river of life flowing through us, energizing our cells and all the atoms of our existence, the 6 trillion atoms. Whatever we're made up of, Lord, everywhere that river flows, it brings healing, regeneration, life. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the journey we've had. I thank you for the work you've given us to do. It's been an honor to serve you, Father. It's been an honor to read your Bible, to preach your word, to feel your zeal and your passion flow through the veins. imparting to those who have an ear to hear. Lord, strengthen your people with all might according to your glorious power in their inner man. Strengthened with all might according to your glorious power in their inner man. That their strength would not be external but inward. Their wisdom would not be by what the world is saying, but what they know by the Spirit and the Word on the inside of them. Bless your people here today. Lord, help us to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, to do good to those who despitefully use us and hate us. Help us to be what your saints throughout time have been, in the face of adversity, faithful. Help us to be faithful at all costs, knowing that it's only for a moment that we go through. But also, Father, I pray for confidence that you will have an army, a militia of mighty men and women of God upon this earth in the last days, not cowering, not weak, a strength that they've never known before, a determination they have never known before. They may have felt like a little mouse, but you're going to turn them into a lion, a roaring lion. For the righteous are as bold as a lion. Proverbs tells us this. So bless, and Lord, let the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah establish itself in the belly of all of us who are gathered right now together. Let the roar of a lion, the lion, that when that sound comes forth out of this body, it'll shake the earth. And the world will know that there's something mightier and greater than them. And the roar of the lion that seeks about trying to devour somebody, that satanic lion, Lord, let him know he's been defeated already. By the cross of Christ, he has been defeated. Let there be a sound that will cause him to shake like he's never shaken. Even in his rage and fury, let him know he's never going to get the worship from a body of people who refuse to bow their knee and yet are the greatest citizens upon this earth because of their love and their obedience to God. So bless your people. Bless your people now and bless your people forever. In Jesus' name. I've got calls. One more call I want to take here today before we get off the line. And let's go back to South Dakota. It just wouldn't be a broadcast without our friends from South Dakota calling in. Good morning, Ken or Kathy. How are you?
Good morning. Just good morning. Fine. Things are well. Devotions this morning. Isaiah 59:16 said this, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. That was the scripture, 59:16. And then there was an excerpt, he explained, Oswald Chambers explained this. It really hit home to me. It says, it's just a short thing, I'll hurry. Worship and intercession must go together. The one is impossible without the other. Intercession means that we rouse ourselves up to get the mind of Christ about the one for whom or what we pray. Too often, instead of worshiping God, we construct statements as to how prayer works. Are we worshiping or are we in dispute with God? I don't see how we're going to do it. This is a sure sign that we are not worshiping. When we lose sight of God, we become hard and dogmatic. We hurl our own petitions at God's throne and dictate to him as to what we wish him to do. We do not worship God, nor do we seek to form the mind of Christ. And as I read that particular paragraph that Oswald Chambers explained that, I myself, when I heard you pray this prayer now yourself, it was a prayer of honor, which I thought, oh God, help the whole Church of Jesus Christ to this. And I just wanted to make that comment.
Well, thank you. That's awesome. All right, you guys stay safe up there in South Dakota and be very well blessed. We have run out of time. We're going to get going for today. Right now on Omega Radio, there's a roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier and her friends. You don't want to miss that. Omega Radio 24/7. Pastor Vince, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Shalom.